This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
One of my favorite bump back tunes. It's old school. It's 80s.
It is old. What is it, Clash?
It's the Clash, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Love the Clash.
I'm not like you and Curtis and Lebo. With your vast musical knowledge.
I don't.
That is incorrect with Brad.
Porter, I hear Porter rap out some names of bands. And
well, if I know him, but he plays a lot. Chris plays a lot of new stuff, and I always come back and I say, who's this? I did it with Jed, too. I'd say, who's this?
So there is an element, Bullig. By the way, you snot-nosed punk.
Happy Sunday, by the way.
I can say that since I went to your high school graduation party.
Yes. That's true.
There is an element of like having a life and things to do when you get older that make it harder to stay in touch with every one hit wonder that comes around. So
my kids
that
know
is
every
true.
Song.
I'm like because I like going to concerts and I'm like when I at one point have a family then that's not going
to
happen.
It's what you should absolutely go to every concert.
I'm trying to go to everything.
Every bar. Drink responsibly, right? Or don't drink at all. There, I got lots of friends that don't.
Rustin
drink.
Dodd is the guy that's dialed in on every musical genre imagine.
I'm not. I was not a musician. And stunning, this may shock you, not a singer either.
No.
You didn't do karaoke at the American Century Championship.
My note range is like an octave, no, half an octave, right? So no, I'm not a musical person. But
the only C I ever got in grade school at St. Therese up north was in music class.
Really?
Because Sister Joan decided in sixth grade, I think it was sixth grade, when all the boys' voices were changing, Bobby Brady kind of thing, you need to sing the national anthem in key. And if you don't, you get a C. And all the boys got C's. None of us could sing it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Sister Joan.
Sister Joan. I'll tell you what.
I'm sure
Sister Joan.
What's she doing now?
I don't think she's with us anymore.
Really? Well, there's the moral of the story, kids.
In the grave.
Give me a C. See what you get. By the way, we'll reestablish the show. This is Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullig is running the show, and our guest this hour, the first time as a guest, is one Seren Petro.
Yeah, can I just say?
Yes, you can say whatever you want.
Huge fan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
As I am oftentimes, like the mornings on the weekend are my time to get things done, so I will hold up in a, like this morning I was at Hen House. Love for the folks at Hen House. By the way, maybe the best bacon I've ever had. It was the best.
Really?
Bacon is, no matter, even if you're great at bacon, you can be kind of hit or miss, right?
Yes.
Because, like,
you don't cook it enough or you cook it too long. Right. I do that all the time.
Especially when you're making mass quantity, but love to the Hen House at 119th and Row. They nailed it. I could see it was so good. I usually get eggs and one order. I got two orders of bacon because it looked so good and it delivered. So thanks to the folks at Hen House. But I like to get there, get on my computer, get through emails, do different things. Like if the AP has been kind enough to give me a top 25 vote, that's a lot of grinding going through all that, and it's due about that time.
And so you take it seriously. I know from listening to your show, you're not the guy that just, Oregon lost this week, drop them five spots. You actually do the research on it.
Yeah, and putting the finishing touches on that, I'm usually listening to you guys. So I'm a huge fan of the show, so thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Well, I remember when I started doing this a couple of years ago on the weekends, making the transition back to radio after 20 years in TV.
Yeah, people may not know you were a radio guy first.
Yeah, I worked for Don Fortune, and
then you lost your mind and went into television.
Went to work for a station that didn't
evil television people
that didn't exist at the time. We got an idea for a station, and this was Neil Harwell, Carol Rothwell, Duke Fry. John Dennison, Bob Niles, all these great people. We got an idea for a sports TV station. Okay, yeah, I'm interested. What channel is it on? Well, it doesn't exist yet. Yeah. We're just going to start it from scratch. And it was the greatest experiment I've ever been involved with. And unfortunately, our company got bought out and they laid everybody off. But that's the business. No hard feelings. I had a good 20 years. But what I was going to tell you is when I got back into this a couple of years ago, it takes a while to get your sea legs back. figure out what you're doing. And you would text me after almost every show, hey, I like this, I like that, I like that. But also, you would say things
and
like...
And they were all immediately, delete, delete, delete,
no,
idiot,
but
moron.
The good thing was, is that, it, you know, if I did a show, I didn't want to go out there and be the shock jock or anything, but I would hem and haw about issues, and you would text me, tell me what's on your mind. I want to know what you think. Don't tell me the Royals won 4-1. Tell me what you liked about it. Tell me what you didn't like about it. And you forced
me. I would
me...
like to point out there was no tone in a text. You've got me
no.
yelling at you.
Yes.
Which is how I'm always painted.
Yes.
It's like everything I say to anybody is shouting at them.
Yes.
You know, like, happy birthday! You know, like... That's,
good morning!
It was just... That was just a... Hey, here's... Yeah.
Shaking hands at church. Peace be with you!
Yeah, well, so much... So much for, you know, confidentiality
no, but it was,
there. But
it was good stuff.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you made
that.
Me get out of my comfort zone, which was what I needed.
Well, I
needed a
that.
Kick in the ass.
I don't know that it was a kick. It was just like, hey, here's what I'm hearing. Because, yeah, I know you've done the business, right?
Right.
And been around it. And just it was a matter of getting up on it. But I liked what I heard. Trust me. If you sucked, I'd be like, man, I'm not wasting time with
you. You'd
this.
Be down in the office telling him, get this jackass off the weekends.
I wouldn't. I learned early on that the corner office is not listening to my thoughts, so that would be a waste of time.
That's okay.
Not that I'm not – that's not a negative. It's just that it's stay in your lane, right?
Yes.
You learn your lane. I'm
yes.
not management. I'm just – I'm the monkey who bangs his cymbals now from 2 to 6. So.
I've been in those meetings with management people before, not anybody here, but where – you would have a meeting to decide, how are we going to do this? How are you
right.
going to cover the Final Four? How are we going to cover the playoffs? And they would have it all mapped out. And then you would say, well, I don't think this will work. Why don't we do that? Well, no. We've got it mapped
right.
out for you. And then later on, well, why didn't that work?
Well, and let me say this. When I say that, right, because we've got very capable management, and I've spent the last 4 days or so in Lake Tahoe with them, you know, it's not that your input is not wanted, right? But – like I actually got good advice at an old company. I've worked for 4 companies, right? And one of them, I got good advice from a guy. I was like, hey, listen, how come nobody asked me about, you know, this or that or this or that? And, you know, I could contribute. I have thoughts on that. I have ideas. And he's like, why would you waste your time? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, you've got the best job, right? You don't have to deal with this crap.
Right.
Right. Like we deal with the, he goes, we deal with this crap because we can't do what you do.
Right.
He goes, so focus on what you do, and that's it. And so that was a good kind of eye-opener to me. I'm like, oh, okay. But when there are things at times, you know, you need to give feedback and say, well, you know, I think we need this guy's good. This guy's a good guest. This, you know, there are interactions in and around. Here's how we can do better working with the sales department and that. And they're always very receptive of
yeah.
that. It's just I got that advice, you know, whatever it would have been 18, 19, 20 years ago. You know, basically, you know your do your job.
Yes.
Know your job. Do your, what the hell is it Bill Belichick always says? Know your role, do your job.
Yes.
Right? I got that. That was, it wasn't put that way to me, but that was a stay in your lane, bro.
Yes.
Right? That was put to me. And so
yeah.
the lane does go by the management door every now and then. They're always very receptive.
Yep. And I liked my manager. Chris Hoovy was our GM for as long as I was there. Sean Belden was one of my bosses, and I had a lot of respect for him. And I tell you what, when you move up in management, you get a lot more BS. Whereas being TV boy, being radio boy, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with all of that stuff
yeah.
that they have to deal with.
That's
budgets
right.
and the emails from, you know, New York or LA or Columbus, Ohio, wherever it's coming from. But yeah, I don't have to deal with that.
And if you're like Jed, you just go in and say everything sucks. And then you turn around and walk out. You know?
And I know Jed's listening, by the way.
He is.
He
yeah.
always does. He just texted
me.
I was
talking to him on the drive in here, and he said he was going to be listening. So I thought I'd throw him under the bus.
We had a great first hour, and he's like, and I was on fire. I was just lit up because the Royals had a big win, and Bubba got a hit, and Sporting destroyed Vancouver. And so I was on a roll this morning, and Jed texted, that was awesome. That was good stuff. So,
yeah, it was nice.
Always
Jed's usually listening. It's just a matter of what his state of mind is.
I do not know what you're referring to. It's an open topic, I think, on your show.
It's pretty open.
Yeah.
It's pretty open.
Probably
by the way, I'm getting some feedback from Jed. He says, second word, it. First word, suck. So there you go.
That's our Jed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was my first weekend producer here.
I know.
I hate to say my producer. He doesn't work for me. He's the producer of the show.
And well, then, it's different now, though, with Chris. I know he goes and picks you up and yeah. makes you pancakes in the morning.
Gets coffee ready.
Oh, yeah. I get the coffee.
That's definitely a
classic. Some intern stuff, you know.
Personal producer.
He brings in his own coffee. He doesn't put anything in the coffee pot here.
Really?
Got it right here. There we go.
Brings in his tumbler.
Absolutely.
See, my first job, when I get in, the first thing I do is I go fill up the ice bucket in there because nobody else will.
At least. Son of a.
Yeah. Jed and I were always very diligent about making sure there was a bunch of ice.
Yeah, I
and that's probably not the greatest topic for radio, by the way.
I have to guzzle water just to be able to speak. Yep. And so I'm prevalent back at the ice. It's not an ice maker. We literally have the old ice trays.
Yes.
By the way, you know who bought those ice trays?
You?
This guy.
Yeah.
Because we were down to one.
Why is one different than the others?
That was the one we were down to, and I bought four new ones, and I think we're down to just two. The new ones broke. The old one's still there.
Right.
So yes, I am a strong contributor to our ice production.
Yes. And much appreciated, by the way. And I try to fill it up before I leave. Make sure the morning guys, the Border Patrol, has ice. I don't know if they use it, but try to make sure they have it.
That's well done.
If you want to know the inner workings of Union Broadcasting, this is what we deal with: making sure the ice bucket is filled.
I think we should have like a we need have some kind of competition where the loser, like dead last, like maybe first gets something, and there's different things you can win, but dead last has to clean the fridge in the break room.
There you go. There's been two frozen meals in there for the 2 years that I've been here.
They're probably Lebo's. He's always eaten.
He loves them.
Some salt.
Occasionally, you know? There's a frozen brisket in there for some reason, and then it's there for like a month, and then it disappears. I don't get it, but it's not my thing.
Roll the dice if you want to take it home and cook it. God only knows where it sat before that. So,
all right, you want to get into the big topic? I'm going to ask you about the American Century
Championships. Your
show, man. Okay, so let's get into the big topic. News came out last week that you are moving your show. The program is moving with Curtis Siebold and Jed Marshall to the drive time 2 to 6 p.m. slot. First of all, how long have you been 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.? Like 15 years?
Yeah, January 15th or 16th. I can't remember which. January 15th or 16th, 2004.
Okay.
So we are 15 and a half years almost, to the day. It'll be the 15th mm-hmm. tomorrow. And so 15 and a half years in that spot.
And I did a story on you when I was at Metro Sports on your show and how it was so highly rated at the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You were beating Rush Limbaugh. And I'm not going to turn this political, but you were getting better ratings than Rush Limbaugh. And so this is...
Which, by the way, won a friend of mine a wager against management at another company.
Really?
Yeah. He said, and I don't even know. This is years ago. You can't talk about ratings on the air, right? So we're not going to talk about now. We're talking about years ago. I think that's fine. And there was another company and a manager who said they'll never beat Limbaugh.
Okay.
And when we did, said person, who I don't want to give away any details because I'll actually give away who it was.
You can tell me later in the
break. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Called and ripped them. So that was like a big day. You know, that was. We don't usually talk about those kind of things, but I'll just tell you a little peek under the covers. That day was a big day when we did that because obviously Rush Limbaugh is an iconic figure. Forget about what your politics are. As a broadcaster and as a radio guy, he is an iconic figure and an incredible success story, not just financially, but ratings and building a network and all that kind of thing. So, listen, I would never pretend to think I could go up against him, you know, and I don't even know where he is now in the ratings and scales and all that kind of stuff. But you know, we're not going to beat him on a national scale, but just to win in your home, in a town that he worked in was a tremendous accomplishment. I have nothing but respect for him. And again, nothing about politics, but just the broadcasting career of what he was able to accomplish. That was a big day.
So you're now picking up and moving to 2 to 6. Drive time is a different animal, and knowing how diligently you work at your job, I'm sure you've put a lot of thought into it. But that's a big...
Not really. No. Not really, but you're scaring me. You're making me think probably ought to.
It's a big life change. It's when you're doing a time slot for 15 and a half years and then picking up and moving, that's a big life and career change.
Yeah, you know, since I guess I'm the subject of this conversation.
Yes.
The first thing that hits you is my wife likes to have dinner at 5:30. right? So that's not going to happen. Like, dinner as a family is very important. My wife comes from, I think I come from a great family. It's just small, me and my mom. And when there's just two of you, you know, you kind of do whatever. My wife comes from a big family. And so family dinners were always very important to her family. And now that I have two kids, and I always liked that, I appreciated that, that, you know, all the dinners we'd go to with her family were always great time for me. Not because I felt like I was missing something. It was just new and different, and it was fun. And that was one of the things my wife and I talked about when we were, you know, getting ready to have kids and everything. And she's like, listen, family dinner, it's important. I want to have dinner. And so that actually was the first thought in my mind was, well, what the hell are we going to do with 5:30 dinner, right? So that's going to have to be 6:15-ish. It is different in the sense that instead of having to, like, work, like, we usually hang around here till anywhere from 4 to 5:30 in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. Like, the next day when you're on 10 to 2 begins at 2. Really, sometimes, like, once you've kind of put all the finishing touches on that final hour, it might start at 1:30. Mm-hmm. Jed's already getting responses on what's coming the next day or whatever. And so there's some questions that we're answering, we're talking about during the breaks of the final hour about what the next day is. So that process would start, and then you would finish it off in the next morning, but you'd lay the framework. You didn't know what was going to happen story-wise at night, but you're laying the framework of how the 4 hours are going to get laid out beforehand. Now, that'll change in the sense that I believe at 6 o'clock I'll be sprinting out of here,
right,
and headed home, and then we'll start first thing in the morning and get things going. There was always stuff you got to talk at night. I mean, it's a job that, you know, we always say, doesn't matter what time we get here, doesn't matter what time we leave, as long as everything gets done.
Right.
That sounds great, and a lot of people take that to mean, oh, so you're only in the office 5 hours. No, sometimes our day
starts at 9:30 for a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah, sometimes our day starts with a 7 a.m. meeting with somebody out at one of the stadiums, and then goes till, you know, 11 p.m. because you're out covering the Royals or something.
Right.
It doesn't matter what time it starts. It doesn't matter what time it ends. That works both ways. There are days that you can shorten it and get out and go do something else, but there are also days, you know, that it requires you, or it requires you to go to Tahoe. You know, the Tahoe days, we always act like it's all live, and we joke about, like, everybody's aware that we tape stuff. But our day in Tahoe last week, Jed would be on, for me, like, the time change, the alarm would go off at 4:50, and you get up and you kind of start reading your phone or whatever and get yourself together, and then I'd be down at the course at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd get out of there on Wednesday and Thursday, pushing on towards 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long day. I'm mm-hmm. not asking for tears or anything, but that's what the job required you to do. Then you got to go back and talk to Jed, talk to Curtis, and do all that kind of stuff. So those are long days in Tahoe. Great days, and thanks to American Century and the tournament's on NBC. Really invite you to watch it. It's a beautiful tournament. It's a lot of fun. You know, I was thinking about it. I always talk about how I watch all the majors in golf. Mm-hmm. There's really five tournaments I watch, the four majors and the American Century Championship, because I really do enjoy watching guys who don't play golf for a living play golf.
Right.
And then just the scenery is just spectacular. But, you know, those are long days. And so now, you know, it changes a little bit, and you tweak how you do things, and you do all your preparation leading up to it. You can, you know, start that morning with a mm-hmm. lot of it. So that will be different and will be an adjustment, and I'm sure we'll take some time. I said the other day, you know, I really look forward to it being about, like, week four, because then we will have had two road games and two home games. We will have come through training camp. We're going to start, and it's going to be an odd time, because instead of me being able to be up at St. Joe and broadcast, where really for 3+ hours I stare at an empty field,
right,
and watch them, you know, water the field and bring the steamroller out, which pushes down the cleat,
right,
you know, the divots that have been dug up and everything, and do all their stuff, because though we can get an interview at like 10:20. And so it's worth it to be up there and do the whole show when, reality, the Chiefs are actually on the field, or they're not even on the field. They're kind of coming off the field from 10 to 10:40. Well, now we'll need to run up there in the morning, and we'll have some time to opportunity to get up there and just be there part of the interview process, then come back and do that. So those will be kind of not normal days. Training camp is not normal days for any of us around here. So we're going to start, get a week of kind of normalcy, then 3 weeks of non-normalcy. Then we'll have the season going. And so I said, I'll feel good when we get through week four, because we will have had road games, home games, been through training camp, and there'll be some rhythm to what it is we're doing. But couldn't ask for a better time to make the switch when you're getting ready to go into Chiefs season.
Sure. And I will tell you this. I was the one who made the announcement that there were going to be changes on that Friday, and it was less than pleasant, but that, it is what it is. And Chad, well,
I'm enjoying your honesty.
Yes. Well, Chad Boger told me, he's told me since I got here 2 years ago, I'm not going to tell you what to say. I'm not going to come in and tell you what to say or not to say. It's your show. And he's had that through these.
I'll just call the board op and yell at him.
Yes.
Hey, you hear me, Chris?
Yeah. What was
hear
beep?
Me knocking?
Just yell at me. Just yell at me.
What was beep? What was BP on that first hour? What was going on?
Good. So have the stones up. To say, you know, to complain about Boger calling the back line. Go ahead. We'll see if you got the guts.
It's happened.
It does.
It happens.
But it's never like, gosh, you were kind of hard on the Royals yesterday. It's never anything.
So, absolutely not.
He's told me to just be honest, be yourself, and do a good show. So I'll just ask you, and you can be as open as you want to, or you don't have to answer. When you were asked to move to 2 o'clock, what was your initial reaction?
How am I going to do dinner at 5:30?
Okay, we got that.
That honestly was. You know, there actually was more thought, you know. I guess I've been really surprised and impressed and very moved by the kind words that have been out there and the excitement that people have. And to be honest with you, the way it's a lot of people, you know, I had somebody yesterday say to me, congratulations on the promotion. And I guess it's the way this company treats every hour of the day. Like, and I get that. And if you ask somebody in radio slot wise, where do you want to be? You want to be in the drive times. And so that's a big deal. And, you know, or you want to be afternoon drive, and people prioritize it and they have it. And but I've never thought of it that way here because I've never been treated that way here.
Right.
You know, interesting little fact. When I was actually brought over here, I was hired to do mornings. Never have done mornings here, but that's what I was hired to do, was to do mornings. At that time, someone else was doing it. John Renshaw was doing it. Mm-hmm. Right. And they were going to then maybe, you know, I think the thought was I would do that and he would move somewhere else. But it was going well. And they said, look, you mentioned who I was up against in the mid days and Jim Rome at that time. They're like, we need to win in that slot. Like, do you think, you know, he's doing pretty good and we're getting some good feedback. And do you think, you know, if we put you in there that you can win there? And I said, well, yeah, I don't think it's us. I think local will always beat national. And I said, so, yeah, let's do it. And like life-wise, don't have to get up. I mean, Steven and Nate and Jake, God bless them, getting up early in the morning. You know, that's a rough go.
Yes, it is.
You know, I don't mean, and this is not to trivialize our military, right? Because I have the utmost respect. But in radio, which is goofville, it's the equivalent of combat pay, right? Getting up at those bad hours and doing it, that's a harder show to do when you have to do it.
And so being really good at it they are.
Yeah. And so, you know, I consider Johnny Dare a friend. I spent a lot of time talking to him and ended up being wasting his time. Right. Okay. What's the key to getting up and getting going and doing all this kind of stuff? And then as it evolved in the time I was waiting to get started because of no competes and contracts and that kind of thing, it evolved. They're like, well, listen, how about middays? I was like, well, that'd be great. Yeah. I don't have to get up as early and afternoons are a little more open. So, you know, and it just fit and it worked and the company always, valued what we did and appreciated across the board everybody, everyone who's here now and everybody who's ever been here. And so I never felt like we were anything more or less, certainly not less, being in the middays than the guys in the mornings or the guys in the afternoons. But I have been, you know, kind of taken aback at how big a deal it seems to be with a lot of other people. For me, so you say, what was the first thing you thought about, right? And it was just, okay, this is where the company wants to go, so let's go do it. And, you know, then you start thinking, okay, what do we got to do different? Because the listening patterns are different and the how long you can keep people. And so, you know, for the most part, Todd Lebo and I were talking this weekend, and Lebo's been a great guy to talk to and a great resource for me to get ideas, and I look forward to talking to him and working with him even more than we have in the past on how I think Lebo's role is going to kind of morph and adjust. But, you know, it is a different kind of approach to the listening patterns of people and how you do it. So your mind just starts going, okay, where do we place the, you know, what we'd say is the A-list, like this is the thing for today that everybody wants to hear, and how do you slot it together? I think you just kind of say, okay, this is where we got to go and this is what we got to do. It was hard, to be honest with you. I just wanted to hurry up and get to where we were going, because it's hard to focus on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, I didn't have that long that I had to do it, right? So, and Tahoe's its own different animal and how things work there. So it's been very fortunate, the timing for me and Jed and Curtis, that our life was kind of a you know, that Tahoe thing. Those guys are staying here till 7:30 at night as we sit and hopefully get a chance to talk to people. I mean, I think we landed Mike Vrabel, who was one of my favorite interviews. If you haven't heard it, check it out on the podcast at 810WHB.com. We landed him at, I think, 5:30 Tahoe time, so 7:30. So Jed and Curtis are back here as we roll that stuff in.
Right.
It's not a handheld. It sounds better. And so we didn't really have time to not focus on what we were doing, because
right.
We're already a fish out of water Tahoe week, because it's not what we normally do. And so now this weekend's been a cram session.
Absolutely. We're coming up on a timeout here, but I'm gonna come back to Mike Vrabel
okay.
in the next segment, because he said something on another radio show last week.
Podcast,
On a podcast that got a lot of attention.
Okay.
I'm gonna see if you
I think I heard this.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you about that in the next segment. Plus, I'm going to ask you some NFL 18 games, and I'll throw a couple
sure.
other things. And I'm going to have a Final Four for you.
Super.
Since you give everybody
Super.
A Final Four.
Because I do awful when people turn this around at me. It's a good reminder. It happens about every 2 or 3 months. And it's a good reminder to me of how hard these questions are when I throw them at other people.
I made these relatively easy, I think.
Okay.
I think
we'll see.
All right. So we'll take a quick timeout. We're visiting with Seren Petro, whose show, The Program, is moving to 2 o'clock beginning tomorrow on Monday. 2 to 6 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Curtis Siebold and Jed Marshall. And we'll continue our conversation. Take a quick time out. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. See, this is one of those times where I have to ask Chris, who is this?
This is Kid Cudi, okay. Day and Night.
That's right.
I've got this on my Super Mix CD.
I knew him when he was Baby Cudi.
There you go. Now he's Kid Cudi.
That's right.
Then he'll be full-grown Cudi at some point, I guess. This is
I don't know. It's still Kid Rock.
It's still Kid Rock.
It's not Man Rock.
It's Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. Our guest is Seren Petro, whose show, The Program, has spent 15 and a half years on this station from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and beginning tomorrow on Monday, moving to 2 to 6 p.m. Kid Rock, by the way, we got invited a couple of years ago. He did a New Year's Eve show at Sprint Center.
Yeah.
And some friends of ours work for American Century.
Okay.
And they have a suite, and I guess they had some extra seats and invited us to go. And when going in, I've never been to a Kid Rock show. And I thought, oh, New Year's Eve, and this goes till midnight. He's going to be hammered. This is going to suck. It was pretty damn good.
Really?
And his musicians, fantastic.
So I happened to one thing about American Century. Jonathan Thomas sat down with us on Friday. He is the president and COO, chief operating officer. Does that sound right? I apologize if I did not get that title right. I try to be respectful of the titles that people have earned, because I think they've earned it in their career. But what a great guy, and his wife is. I always see her there as well. She's very nice and was. You know, you can't find a classier person. And it's always great to see them and talk to him and talk about the fact that American Century gives 40% of their profits to charity.
I'm stunned every time I hear
that. To Stowers and the cancer research, which I think is incredible and deserves a tremendous tip of the cap. The two American Century buildings down there speaks to the
iconic.
And I know other companies' office in there, but to what they've given back just to the city there. But, you know, it was great. I know what my firsthand experience has been. But I actually getting a ride home, had car service home, and the gentleman who was driving me home drives Jonathan Thomas a lot.
Really? Wow.
And he said, what a great guy. Mm-hmm. And that's always great when you hear from folks that I was just thrilled to hear that, yes, no matter, you know, where you are, where you're going, this is just a great guy. So a class event going on out in Kansas City. I know it's not happening right here in Kansas City, and I've talked to Jonathan about it a lot, that they put their money into that because it's the best way to grow their brand. But a lot of Kansas City people go out there and work really hard. I really do invite everybody. It's such a spectacular place. And that event with all the Kansas City people that are out there, it really is. If you want to go see a great alpine setting in just incredible weather, book you 3, 4, 5 days out there and go to the tournament, walk the course, get out on the lake, go up the gondola to Heavenly Ski Resorts up there. They've got all kinds of stuff, a zip line and different things. I think even a sled-like thing you can do up on there. There's a lot of stuff you can do in the summer if you're a hiker or a biker like Frank Bohl loves going up there. It's just a cool place. And then everything that's going on at night with the tournament and everything, you just go to the casino and you're going to see all these celebs walking around. It's really a great weekend and represents KC really well.
Well, I do the Frank Bohl. We go to Colorado for a week every year. I've been doing it for 20 years. So Tahoe would probably be right in my lane.
Yeah, you
right
would.
In my
You'd
lane.
Love it.
So let me ask you a couple of questions about all the people you talked to. Let's start with Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
Longtime Patriot, played for the Chiefs.
Short-time Chiefs.
You put it right to him. He was a red ass when he was here because he was old and breaking down, and his wife told him.
By the way, I put it right to him after he had shown that he has a sense of humor. And
yes.
I didn't start with, Mike, let's start with the fact that you were a red ass when you were a player for the Chiefs. That wasn't the opener.
No. That was not the lid lifter, so to speak. That was not the icebreaker.
Yeah.
You got a little comfortable with it. But, he said he was old and he was hurt and his wife was making fun of him because he couldn't run anymore. And it was kind of funny. We played a clip earlier during Bowling Bites. He was on a podcast. And apparently some coach in the NFL was asked, would you cut off your manhood to win a Super Bowl? And this coach said yes, and they put it to Vrabel whether or not he would do it. And he thought about it for a few seconds and he goes, I've been married 20 years, sure, why not? Did that happen to come up?
That came out. So we taped him the first day there, like I said, late in the day, and that came out the next morning. Like, I got hosed timing wise on two things. We actually got all six NFL coaches on Wednesday, so we get in there Tuesday. And our first time is Wednesday, getting to the course. And we got Frank Reich, Sean Payton, Doug Peterson, Mike Vrabel, Anthony Lynn, and
Matt Nagy.
Yeah. All in one day, to which, I mean, what an incredible haul. Now, we played him. One went on live. Frank Reich was live Wednesday. Played two of them Thursday and then did an NFL hour that we were very proud of, the 1 o'clock hour that included Vrabel. He was like our big finish. Was Mike Vrabel and the 1 o'clock on Friday, and that came out right after we had him, and then Anthony Lynn, I sit and interview Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, and no joke, like 4 hours later, Melvin Gordon announces he wants a trade and is holding out, and I saw Coach Lynn walking on Friday. I said, Coach, thanks again for the time. He goes, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. And then it took him a second. He remembered. He goes, yeah, of course, no problem. And I said, the timing couldn't have been worse, though, Coach. I said, your running back says he's not going to play. I said, I didn't get a chance to ask you about that. And he goes, and I didn't have to answer about it either.
Right.
Headed off to go to his tee time. So, yeah, we got burnt timing-wise. Like, we were, like, super efficient in getting things done, and it screwed us in the long run.
Right. I was watching some highlights this morning, the top 10 they do on SportsCenter. And they did some Tahoe stuff. And so Steph Curry's in the rough, right? He's a pretty good golfer, right?
Really good. I think he's finished fourth a couple of times in that tournament.
So he hits one into the spectator stands. And this is the high-dollar elevated stands where they got the tables and people are fine dining and drinking champagne. Hits one. This is like 15 feet off the ground, this elevated party zone. And he walks up there. And Justin Timberlake walks up there with him. And he's, having fun playing security guard. Like, everybody back, everybody back.
Yeah.
And Curry hits it right out of the dining area and within about 8 feet of the pin.
Which hole was this on?
Oh, it had to be one of the finishing holes. There were a bunch of boats I could see in the background.
Okay, so if they were over on the water side, that's 17 and 18 that come down there. Mm-hmm. And I think I know where you're talking about. I think that was the VIP tent. I think
yes,
it was over on 18.
Very VIP.
And it was the VIP tent area. And so I know where he would have hit it. That's a bad shot, by the way.
Yes.
He's a pretty good golfer. That'll make everybody feel good because he missed by a lot if he was over there.
Yep.
That atmosphere is great. And I heard a story, give you an idea of, Jonathan Thomas and American Century are very, they give a speech. I've heard this not from Jonathan, but from people that have been there. There is a speech that is given to everybody. I think it's on Tuesday night or Wednesday. Tuesday night is their first official deal, and they have a meeting, a celebrity meeting. All the celebrities are supposed to be there on Tuesday night, and they give a meeting and they explain what is expected. They don't pay for those guys to come out. They give them a room. I think all they get is a room, but how they get there is up to them. It's their responsibility. And they have people begging to get into this mm-hmm. tournament. They want to be a part of this tournament. And they have a code of conduct that they expect. And it is, you have to be kind to your other celebrities. You have to be kind to all the clients. They're clients of Harrah's and American Century that are out there. Mm-hmm. And I think NBC has, like, so they have a couple of pro-ams that are there. You have to be kind to those people. You have to be kind to the families of those people. Mm-hmm. You have to be kind to the people that are working this event because they're working very hard. And I think that's great. And then you have to be kind to the fans.
Yes.
Because that's what this is all about. And when you go out there to it, I'm not telling you Charles Barkley is going to come to dinner with you, but like, and Charles is a great guy anyway, but even some guys that maybe are less than approachable at other times have had pressure put on them that when you're walking by the fans and you've got time. Now, if you're up and you got to hit, you got to go hit. You know, if your tee time's there, you got to do it. Some guys are better than others, but you will get autographs or a quick selfie, or you will get, like, I watched Miles Teller. Mm-hmm. The actor who's in Whiplash and is going to be Goose's kid in the upcoming
Top Gun. Maverick.
Yeah, and yep. He's got a new series out that's on one of the streaming services. But one of the young up and coming actors, we talked to him last year, didn't get a chance this year, but he was great. Talked to him for a long time last year. He comes up to 17, which is kind of the party hole, and that's where you'll see all the boats along 17 and then 18 as well. But it's right over by the water, especially this year. All the snow they got, almost 50 feet of snow. Mm-hmm. The lake is at maximum capacity. It's going, the dam is having to let water out. So the boats are right up on the course. And so he was walking over. He takes some jump shots on the basketball goal
and
misses. And then he came over and was just signing autographs and taking selfies while they were waiting for the group in front of him to play out. And he spent all the time while they were waiting for that group in front engaging the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great experience. And I want people to understand that it's driven by American Century and their expectation of what it's going to be if you're going to come out and play. And if you don't, you are not coming back.
Right.
There's a reason why Ben Roethlisberger is not there.
I got that on my list.
There's a reason why Lawrence Taylor's not there. I mean, I watch the guys. They list who are the first-year guys, and we always take note who gets called back
right.
and who doesn't. And if they didn't get called back, I guarantee you, they were not nice to somebody. And that is something American Century takes very serious.
And I was going to ask you about, I got that in my final four, but I'll save that. But I was, you know, Roethlisberger, I had heard when he was at the tournament, he was one of the bigger jerks that's been there. And he didn't get invited.
Two of his college offensive linemen that were walking around acting like bodyguards that were just like, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable. You could just see the writing on the wall that this is not going to go well.
No, and here's the thing.
And he was very young then. He wasn't married. He hadn't gone through all his mistakes and problems. And it was that trip that obviously where he was accused of rape out there. And so, yes, he was a one and done.
And, you know, it's easy for me to say because I'm not a multimillionaire athlete who's hounded for autographs and pictures all the time. But when you see the guys, especially at American Century, who are invited back year after year, it's not that hard to be nice.
No.
You got to put the effort in to be an a-hole.
So I'll tell you a great story. I'll give you a reason to like David Wells. I won't tell you who he was talking to because this was said to me in confidence. But David Wells, a guy
former Yankees and Blue Jays great.
Yeah, Reds.
Reds.
He had about nine different stops. Padres, I think, even. He's from San Diego. Love talking to David Wells. There was somebody out there that there was a kid who was the only kid at this one area, and he's like, hey, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, will you sign this, Mr. So-and-so? And the guy just ignored him. Didn't even say, like, I got to go, I got a tee time, I got this, whatever. And David Wells met him where he was walking to and said, you turn around and you go back and you sign that kid's ball. He's the only kid over there. You go over there and sign his ball. And
really?
The guy turned around and went over and signed the ball. So I thought, you know, that just speaks to the nature of what kind of guy David Wells is. And he's known as kind of a tough guy. And on the field, he'd get into it with the umps and got into it with managers and different things. But you're not going to find a better guy. Like, you know, if he got into it, it makes me think that the umpire had it coming and the manager was probably a jerk. He's a guy that's no nonsense. And if you go the wrong way, he's going to confront you about it.
Right.
But there's probably a really good reason why he's doing it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take Chris is walking out of the studio. I was going to say, let's take an early break because I got the final four for Seren. I want to make sure we have enough time in the next segment, like old school. I don't know if I have enough time. They got to go to Home Depot. Okay.
I was just trying to turn the Wimbledon game on the DirecTV.
Oh, because the TVs are all black,
you know,
in here.
Thing.
Yeah, the
weird stuff. So right. I'm trying to get that on.
It's nice to know that your knowledge of the television is the same as mine.
I can't figure out how to work the TVs in here. I've been here 2 years, can't figure it out.
We're in the communication business. Why
I know.
We know how to
where's
do?
Lebo at?
Yeah, where's Briscoe? He knows how to work all these TVs. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullock is running the show. Soren Petro is our guest. He'll be moving the program to 2 p.m. beginning tomorrow on Monday. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And this would be who, Chris?
This is a group called Jungle. The song's called Busy Earning.
Okay. Busy Earning?
Oh. Busy Earning.
That's what we're doing. By the way, we finally got the TV up and working, Wimbledon.
Yeah, to get the epic final between Federer and Djokovic.
Five sets. They're in the fifth set, all tied up at 4-4.
Djokovic 7-6, then Federer 6-1. That's the one set that doesn't seem to fit in here. Mm. Then Djokovic 7-6, Federer 6-4, and they're 4-4 now in the fifth. So,
wow.
Pretty good stuff.
Some of the shots.
Don't turn it on until Brad's done, though.
Yes, exactly. Back on Sports Sunday, final few minutes here before we hit baseball tonight at noon. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullock is running the show. Our guest is Soren Petro, whose show, the program, will be moving tomorrow on Monday to the 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. time slot. I'm going to give you the final four now just to make sure I have enough time.
Okay, let's do it.
And then we'll throw in a couple extra if we have a bonus. All right, final four for Soren Petro. Which guy is having the most fun at the American Century Championships? I got to think it's Rob Riggle, maybe Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, of the celebs that are there?
Yeah. Who's having the most fun?
You know, Steph Curry really seems to enjoy himself there, you know, and he's great and interacts with the fans really well, and he's one of the most gregarious guests, despite Jed Marshall's dislike of him, which is a reason to not like Jed. He seems to really have a great time there. Riggle definitely has a great time, but you want one guy?
Sure.
Chad Boger. Nobody has a better time in Tahoe than Boger. He is a photography nut, and he loves the history of sports and celebrities. He loves entertainment, and he loves all that. He is an absolute kid in the candy store out there. So I would say Boger. If you want one of the celebrities, Riggle gets along so great with everybody out there. He's such a great representative of Kansas City out there. So it's always fun to watch a KC guy, you know, hobnobbing with the biggest of the big. So I'll take Curry in the athlete division, Riggle in the celebrity division, and Boger. Of everybody there, nobody has a better time than Boger.
Now, I'm not going to reveal the name, but wasn't there a year he took a picture of a certain celebrity and the celebrity had their bodyguards go confiscate?
Yeah. Oh, I'll name the name.
A-Rod.
And this was A-Rod. Yeah, he got A-Rod. So A-Rod wasn't even playing, and neither was – who was he dating at the time? What's her name? The actress was a big deal at the time. Oh, gosh. She was one of Charlie's Angels.
Oh, she was re-launch. In What About Mary?
Yeah, something about Mary.
Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz. Okay.
So they apparently flew up from the All-Star game and were just hanging out there for a day or two, and they were in our hotel, and I actually had gone to bed, or I would have said something. That was the consensus
and
of
you would
amongst
have.
Everybody
I've
there.
Seen it.
I would have. And he came over. He got a picture. And apparently that was one of the things that everyone knew they were dating, but in New York is when he's playing for the Yankees. But nobody had a picture of the two of them together. And he got a picture, and that was far, and it was tough to even make out who they were. They came over and took his phone and wanted to erase his phone. And we brought it back, and then it was a Sprint phone. And like everything you do on your phone, know this, is still there. Even if you hit delete, it's still there.
Right.
And they were able to find the picture eventually, like through memes.
There you go, A-Rod. Yeah. There you go, A-Rod. Okay, question number two of the final four. Travis Kelce won karaoke night, right?
He did.
And you were there behind the stage.
I was behind the stage because I can't shout over the music or I'll lose my voice. So the whole crew, our whole crew was over in front enjoying it, getting better video. And I was just staring out at the lake behind, just kind of chilling.
Okay, so he clearly won. But what was the most entertaining moment of the night? Because Briscoe posted a picture or a video of Brett Baer from Fox News wearing a sport coat and trying to do Lil Nas X Old Town Road.
Yeah, which, by the way,
the prompter went out, and he tried to, like, ad-lib.
So, by the way, forget about your politics, right? Brett Baer did a phenomenal job.
I heard he's one of the nicest people
you meet. He's super nice, and he was up there, and he picked the most popular song, and I'll tell you what the problem was. and I said this to Jonathan Thomas on Friday, like I would have voted for him
right.
for doing that. And he was one of the, he finished top three last year. I think Jeremy Roenick won it last year. But he finished top three because last year he did Rapper's Delight. And he ended And he did Rapper's Delight after the prompter didn't work. But I thought he was great. I mean, like, it should have been like, if the audience had been 8 to 28, it would have blown the roof off.
Right.
Right. The problem was it was like 38 to 68.
Right.
And they're like, oh, what's this? It's like, I'm like, you guys failed. The audience failed. That's what I told Jonathan Thomas. I said, that was an epic fail on the audience because Brett Baer of Fox News doing old, you know,
Old Town Road.
Ride my horse. You know, that's, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Right. Something that you wouldn't expect.
Huge miss by the audience.
All right. Fantastic. Question number three of the final four. Did you gamble?
No, I didn't. Mm. You know, I love to gamble. I really do. I like sports betting, but I love playing poker. Just didn't have time ever to go sit down and play poker because you need to invest some time in that. I really like blackjack. I'll play some roulette with friends if they're there. I love craps. If you're playing with friends, it's a great game to play. You know, always know your limit and all that kind of stuff. But I did not. We were so busy. And it's just kind of become less of – you know, in the old days – I'd do everything we needed to do, and then I'd stay up till 4:30 in the morning and then be back down there at the course at 6:30, and I would roll some days. But my voice can't handle that anymore, and so, no, I didn't.
I played poker with you a handful of times. I know River Falls, when the Chiefs used to be there, we played.
Played some high-stake games in the like Motel 6 or whatever those were. The
ants
best
crawling along the wall, and oh, my God, what a dump.
For like $5 total.
But we were playing – you and I played at a celebrity charity event years ago. I want to say it was at Harrah's.
I think it was a feeder event for Big Slick.
Okay.
And
this might have been before Big Slick.
I talked to Regal. I finished fifth in the first Big Slick.
This one, the one that
maybe
you and
maybe
I...
my greatest. Well, that and winning Monday Night Poker League.
There you go.
Anyway, with some very good, there are several pros in the Monday Night Poker League here in town, which is a private game.
Right.
And I actually won that once. And that's actually the highlight of my card career. Second was finishing fifth at the Big Slick.
There you go. Well, and that's awesome because I would be first one out. Definitely.
I beat the Hinkle brothers in Monday Night Poker. I think actually Grant was in that one at Harrah's. So yeah. I beat him. So
Chris,
stick it, Grant.
Let me give you a heads up. Can we go a couple of minutes over?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. We're not on a time constraint here on the weekend. So the poker game that I remember playing you with, the celebrity charity one, Mick Schaefer was in it. Nick Garcia, former Wizard Sporting KC, and can't remember who else, but there was...
Mick got his panties in a bunch, if I recall. There was something he didn't like and was complaining. You know how he is.
Yeah. Well, you Mick, got me pretty Mick. Good. It was funny because just a few times we played together, you know that I don't go big on anything. I usually, you know, if I've got...
You're a conservative individual.
I'm a conservative player, so... We're
playing. Some of us may use that against you at the card table.
Yes, it's a strategy in which I have not mastered at all. So we're playing, and I've kind of skipped probably 8, 9, 10 hands, and I was like, oh, you know, I got a couple of good cards, and I put like $5 out there on the table, and this was all for charity. It's not real money.
Right.
And you were on the other side of the table, and you said, oh, look out, Porter's in. He's got pocket aces. And then later on, three of us got knocked.
Did I stay in the hand?
Do you remember?
Because it sounds like something I'd do when I'm like...
Just to piss me off,
like,
probably.
I've got, you know, like... Because if you don't bet forever and then you bet all of a sudden, you're like, okay, he's got something, right? And so I probably just wanted to scare everybody else out of the way because I wanted to go head-to-head with you or something.
Right.
But yes, that you're a little easy to read in that, in that standpoint.
Well, we got...
At least then. I'm sure you've evolved now.
A little bit. We were in a three-way hand. You weren't in. It was me and Nick Garcia and then a reporter who used to be... at Channel 41, and I think she was on 38, the spot, and I can't remember her name. She's not on TV anymore. Something, I'm not going to stab at it because I'll miss wildly. So we're in, like, it's three-way, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. There's all this money, and I got a great hand. Get to the very end, like, all right, everybody flip over your cards. And she beat the pants off me and Nick, knocked us both out of the thing, and I'm like, no! No.
And there's cards. She's a much better player than you, though.
And right? I'm not the person.
I don't even remember who you're talking about, but she was much better than you.
Yes. And I don't like the people who tell you after you win how you misplayed your hand.
Right.
But she misplayed her hand. She slow rolled us So yeah. I didn't think she had anything, but she got it. She nailed us.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
got us pretty good.
It's cards, man.
So that wraps up question number three. Did you okay. gamble in Tahoe?
I did not. No, not $1.
Okay, so the final question, we touched on this earlier, because if you're not nice when you're at the American Century Championships, you don't get invited back.
Right.
So the biggest a-hole who's been there, I put Roethlisberger on there because I've heard stories,
yeah.
but you've been there long enough.
So,
and you don't have to, you don't
so
have
yeah,
to name
just,
somebody.
Just to put some context, this year that award goes to Eric Weddle.
Really?
Who signed with the Rams.
Former Chargers for safety.
Charger and Raven.
Yep.
And when asked by very nice individual from our station, I won't say the name because I don't know that they want this out there, but I was told, what the hell would I have to talk about in Kansas City?
The NFL?
Just say no. Like,
right.
Like, you did play the Chiefs, by the way, in an epic game
right.
in the regular season. So, I mean, your career, like, we'll talk about your career.
He's had a very good career.
Yeah, yes. But so he takes the prize this year. Listen, I'm just going to be blunt. Marcus Allen.
I can see that.
He's not on anybody's. You know, I'm actually somewhat surprised that Marcus Allen keeps getting the invite. He must be good at the right times.
Right.
Donald Trump was not particularly friendly to folks, and he was not President Trump at that time, hence I said Donald Trump. And he was obviously there the same year as Roethlisberger, if you've read the papers.
Did he not get invited back?
No, he did not. No, he did not. He did not get invited back. But I remember they parked his plane at the Reno airport. He couldn't fly into Tahoe because, you know, his plane
big.
Was like a 707.
Yeah, it's big.
It's like really old,
yeah.
but it's big. And maybe he's got it. Well, I know he's got a new one called Air Force One now, so save the jokes. But back in the day, and it was parked there at the Reno airport. And so when you drove in, you saw it. But it was too big to fly into the Tahoe airport where
Aww.
Everybody else with,
probably,
like, you know, they're like Cliff Hillock has his own plane,
right?
And he flies and lands on that strip at the strip at Tahoe, but his plane was too big. So he had, I love that he had to make the drive from Reno like the rest of us because his plane and was too big.
By the way, I have to do a legal ID here. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
I would, you know, Roethlisberger was up there. I want to give credit because I don't just volunteer, but since you asked, I'd like to call out everybody. Lawrence Taylor was fine to me, but he did something because he was not back, and I was told that was not a good scene with him. Whatever happened, but you know, there are guys like Aaron Rodgers. We actually got on once. He's not going to sit down with you, but he's not a jerk about it, right? You're not going to get Steph Curry to sit down.
Nope.
But he's not a jerk. He'll smile. You say something if he's hitting balls because we're there on the range right in front of you. Justin Timberlake, same way. He's not going to sit down. But actually, I had Riggle sit there with me, and Riggle started, you know, chiding him while he was hitting balls. And so he was talking back, and I said a couple things to him, and he talked back. So he exchanged things. And so that he's a fun guy from that standpoint. But Roethlisberger's the guy. I mean, it was bad. When you got two brutes walking around, when you are, you know, and he was in that was coming off like his second year. I think he'd won the Super Bowl
right
that second year. And when you've got, you know, at that time, Michael Jordan was there and, you know, and Michael Jordan, he ain't going to talk to you, but you did some balls and kind of talk about Jordan being there. And he kind of look over at you and wink. And, you know, you'd say, well, you know, we'll see if Jordan's going to sit down with this weekend back. Don't bet on it. You know, he'd you know, joke
right.
with you a little bit, but Roethlisberger was was the roughest guy.
But most of them were really good. So,
I'm
not bringing this up to trash people. Just most of them are good. But
and I think Roethlisberger would be much better today.
Yeah.
If he got the invite, he'd be a different guy today.
But American Century Championships, great job with that. And you did a great job all week. So,
Appreciate that.
All the hard work that Curtis and Jed did back here. So, good. I was going to make a final comment about Jed because he listens to the show all the time. I used to work with a guy, I'll tell you off the air. I would ask him, did you see the show last night? We did a really good show. And he goes, why would I watch? I wasn't on it. He doesn't live here in Kansas City anymore. So
Okay, that's
so I appreciate Jed listening because, you know,
you certainly couldn't pick up anything by paying attention to how other people
yes.
do the same job.
And do it better than you, much
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
Thank you to Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman, or the Oklahoman, pardon me, for talking a little NBA. Thanks to Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, and thanks to Seren Petro.
Thank you for having me, Brad.
Yeah, you're Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock, new slot with Curtis Seabolt and Jed Marshall. My name is Brad Porter, Chris Bullock running the show. We'll see you next with Baseball Tonight.